Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zoomcast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Dominique Huang. He is the Chief Technology Officer at Daemon Motorcycles. Hi, Dominique. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this particular interview and learning more about your brand, your company, your product. But first, I want to start by talking about your story. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Oh, sure. I am the son of Chinese immigrants who immigrated to Canada back in 74. I'm born and raised in Vancouver, BC. And, I would describe myself as kind of like, growing up in a very typical Asian household. I think I lived probably the most sheltered and vanilla life you can imagine. I was given four different career choices. I chose engineering. And, as luck would have it, my engineering career started, at a company in Richmond, BC here called Sierra Wireless. This was back in 97. And this company created the world's first wireless modem that would transmit data over the air. And this predates the internet. It predates this was at the early stages of cellular phones. And so I grew up as a radio engineer. I graduated from college from a school called the BC B, British Columbia Institute of Technology, and so I spent about 12 years of my career at Sierra Wireless, and then from there I jumped into product consultancy at a company called One Oak Design as their partner, and it was a good time being able to look at, or at least help entrepreneurs develop products to fulfill, to solve problems of their customers. And I was fortunate enough to work on a multitude of different types of products, everything from the world's smallest cellular phone that was the size of a credit card, no kidding, and it had a full QWERTY keyboard. That's how small it was. To a radio, an emergency beacon for divers. I was able to work on all those different projects. And then, it also led me to, when I left One Oak, after 5 years, I found myself at a company called Recon Instruments that made heads up display systems for adventure sports. And so their product was, a ski goggle that had this little mini display in it that would tell you how fast you're going, where you are on the mountain. It can connect to your phone so you can pipe your music. That company was pretty bold in its vision as far as, pioneering heads up display technology. I was its head of engineering and manufacturing. And then ultimately, that company was sold to Intel a few years back, and then I found myself working at Intel, this monster company with 150,000 employees globally, and kept on doing my thing as far as engineering and manufacturing, with additional heads up products, and I was doing some other interesting things for Intel, and funny enough, after about 18 months. After 18 months, Intel wanted myself and my family to move down to California, to spend the rest of my career there. Unfortunately, it was just not the right time, for myself or my family. And so I had to decline. And then I met my future business partner, Jay, in 2016, and he wanted to talk motorcycles and talk about technology and how we could, eventually save the planet by having people convert from gas engines to electric, But also as important as that conversion was to make riders safer. This is a, motorcycle riding is a very much a passion of both Jay and myself. We have been riding motorcycles for 25 years. And it was something that we felt very strongly, how do we combine our love of technology and our passion for motorcycles into a product that solves the immediate problem for consumers or for commuters. And that is, is there a viable alternative to gas, number one, but is there a viable alternative to a car? And, if you look at outside of North America, the short answer is absolutely. Two wheels is the predominant form of transportation outside of North America. So if you go to Europe, India, China, Southeast Asia, you would find the motorcycle to car ratio as high as 15-1. And so that is the big audacious goal that we set ourselves to accomplish. And I would say that we are well on our way to accomplishing that goal.
Wow, that's an interesting story. I'm curious, one thing you mentioned earlier is your parents gave you four career choices and one of them was engineering. What were the other three?
Oh, well, if you're Asian, you would probably, be able to memorize these or recite these choices by heart, okay? Even for you, Solomon, I can guarantee you probably have the same choices presented in front of you. Which one? You can name them, right? Engineer, doctor, accountant, or lawyer. So, it's all the professions that obviously make a ton of money or something, or that's your hope. So, I'll tell you a really short, funny story about that. My first love was not engineering. It was actually art. Actually, I love them both. I wanted to be in advertising. I was very much an artist in school, and that was something I wanted to do. But as fate would have it, I was also very good at electronics as well. And so, I was given some advice by my guidance counselor that said that, there's no money in art. Okay. But there's money in electronics. And so one day I will have to revisit my guidance counselor and pay her back for her excellent advice.
Well, it's good that you found your passion and you're definitely accomplishing in that space. So I want to talk more about Daemon Motorcycles. Sure. So can you talk about when you started this company and what your initial phase was like in terms of R&D, in terms of fundraising and making a switch to this particular space? What were the challenges you faced?
Sure. Daemon was founded in 2017, in the spring of 2017, between Jay and I. And our mission was, as I said before, was to save as many motorcyclists' lives as possible, and at the same time get people off of gas. And so the early phases of, sorry, I'm just going to turn off some of these notifications because it's just causing pain here. The early phases of Daemon, as we were trying to raise funds from our friends and family around, was the original plan was always to make a motorcycle with the safety technology. We wanted to have the vehicle, the motorcycle, be the conduit, if you will, to really speak about the safety technology that we were developing. And so in the early days of fundraising, it was definitely a tough go. Jay and I, what we had was our resumes and a unbelievably crafted slide deck that showed our investors or potential investors the vision of the motorcycling future, the way we envisioned it. And like I said, it was a really tough pitch because we really had nothing to show for. We had no prototypes, we had no engineering done, but here we are making this big pitch. And I think you know, after about, you know, a few months of trying to raise funds and coming up against a really big brick wall, we realized that maybe it was just the vision was maybe too large for people to see, and that it was just very difficult to focus on everything. And so we our strategy was actually to get our investors to look through a straw, and we pointed the straw at safety. It's the one area in our portfolio that, whether you're a motorcycle rider or not, I think we all can connect to safety. We can all imagine that, you know, motorcycles are unsafe, and we want, you know, it would be cool to actually make it safer. We probably have friends or family, you know, close acquaintances that are motorcyclists. Heaven forbid that, you experience your loved ones, going through the pain of an accident, or a tragedy, that stems from it. Excuse me. And so once we made that pivot to focus on the safety technology, then investment, it came in really well. Exceeded our initial expectations. We've oversubscribed every single round that we've raised, and it led to, our focus initially with the safety technology, and it brought us full circle to the vehicle. So, you know, we've explored every avenue of our business, and, you know, we've had to reinvent ourselves a few times, everything from licensing our safety technology to, like I said, coming full circle and building the entire vehicle and becoming a motorcycle OEM. So it really is apropos for our original vision of building a motorcycle, actually go back to our original plan and say, yes, this is what we're going to do, and have some industry success and commercial success in doing so. Our order book is amazing. It's $18 million of pre-orders, hundreds of vehicles already pre-sold. And, that gives us, you know, a really clear indication that we have product market fit. So that's a little bit about our early history.
So how much financing have you raised so far?
We raised $10 million in financing, and through the entire history. And that, you know, brings us to, last year where we launched the Hypersport for pre-order. 2020, despite the global challenge that we all had with COVID, 2020 actually was a pretty positive year for Damon. We debuted the motorcycle, the Hypersport, at CES, and it was an unbelievable time. We were never not busy during that show. And the fanfare and the interest that it generated was just unbelievable. We carried so much momentum through February and March, and then unfortunately, finally COVID caught up with us, and it shut the whole world down, right? So, but we remained scrappy, we remained vigilant, we were still very much in development mode. Excuse me. And at 2020, it actually proved to be quite fruitful. Like I said, we generated our big order book of $18 million. At the end of 2020, we also announced we announced a full vehicle lineup. So we have our flagship product, which is the Hypersport Premier, and that vehicle is $39,995 US before state and federal incentives. We also have the Hypersport at $24,995, so that's our top of the line, aside from the premium, that is the second to the top. And then we have our SX line, which is $19,995, and then followed by the SE, $16,995. And really what differentiates the four vehicles is the range and the horsepower. The range is dictated by the battery capacity, and the horsepower is dictated by software. And you know, our technology allows us to build all four of these vehicles using the same engine platform, engine and or motor and battery platform. So it's called HyperDrive, and that's a pretty well, we're pretty proud of that technology.
So what's the maximum range of distance the bike can cover in a single charge? Is it about 100 or so kilometers? I mean, for your best bike, what is the maximum range?
Okay, so I can go through the ranges of the individual vehicles I just told you about. So okay. in the HS and the Premier, the range is 200 miles on a single charge.
Wow.
Now that is an EPA figure. That is a blended figure between city and highway traveling or highway usage, which is the industry. It is an industry leading 200 miles. The SX will give you 150 miles on one charge, and the SE will give you 100. So, you know, doing the conversion in kilometers, I think 200 miles is what, 320 kilometers. 150 miles is what, 220. And then 100 miles is 160 kilometers. So it will definitely meet, you know, anyone's expectation as far as, you know, taking the bike on a Sunday ride to a daily commute. And so we have different flavors that will cater to different riders and their needs for a range.
And how long does it take for the bike to charge?
We have level one, level two, and DC fast charging on the motorcycle. So on a DC fast charge, you can go from say 10% to 80% in about 45 minutes. Level two, it'll take about 4 hours to charge the bike. And then at level one, which is 120 volts, it's a good evening's worth. So anywhere from 8 to 10 hours.
That's 45 minutes is a fast charging. In terms of sales, you mentioned like 18 million pre-orders. So yeah. how many units would that be? How many units have you sold since inception?
That's 800. That's 800 vehicles to date.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Are your bikes manufactured in Canada?
Yes, they will be. We are setting up our factories right now. we have our main office that will service our small volume production, anywhere from 50 to 100 vehicles. We are setting up a facility right now in the Greater Vancouver area. To give us the medium volume. So, you know, that could be anywhere from 1,000 to 15,000 vehicles and beyond. We are very much proud of having manufacturing in Canada. It gives us economic and trade advantages that we cannot find anywhere in the world. And as our global footprint increases, we do expect to expand our manufacturing capabilities to Europe and Southeast Asia. So we do have a pretty aggressive rollout plan.
Mm-hmm. So that's like full manufacturing in Greater Vancouver area.
That's correct. That's battery pack assembly and full and final assembly of the vehicle. Of course, we will have components of the vehicle that come from around the world. So we have a global supply chain that we're setting up. And but yeah, the vehicles as you will see them in their final form will roll out of the line in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about this. Like when you were trying to figure out, you know, where to manufacture your product, did China come to mind? And
absolutely.
Because you know there's an obvious place where companies manufacture. Yep. And what made you choose Canada? And what are the benefits of local manufacturing perspective?
Excellent question. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of deep relationship with Chinese factories. I've done a lot of work there. Anywhere from, you know, the largest tier one manufacturers in the world. And so, China is a great spot, to produce, parts, As far as vehicles is concerned, one thing we have to consider is tariffs. We also have to consider logistics, the shipping costs of these vehicles. And our initial rollout is for North America. And so while China is a great low cost center, if you factor in logistics, you factor in any of the challenges with time zone communication, you'll find that it's probably worthwhile to actually consider manufacturing in Canada instead of farming it out overseas. As I said before, as we roll out our global domination plan, we will have the need, or there will be the need that arises that we have to set up a plant in those various geographies because of, again, just the growing logistic costs, right? That cannot be underestimated. Material can be flown in or by boat or truck from anywhere, but moving a vehicle, a full vehicle, it does take a bit of effort to do, and the costs aren't insignificant.
So I guess you don't have to worry about like shipping a whole bike from China, because as you said, that can be expensive. And if you have it local, you can do it locally without having to worry about the shipping. And I guess you also have more control over your production, and you can, the fact
That's
that
it. Nope.
you can visit
Yeah.
your factory anytime and control production, that's a benefit.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. And thank you for making that. Absolutely. It is, as a new brand, it is imperative that we deliver the vehicle that meets our customers' expectations. And so there are many challenges with manufacturing, many, many challenges. And you just want to be really closely tied to your plant. You want to be able to, be that, how do I say, specific with all the different functions of the factory, setting up all your key performance indicators or KPIs, putting in together your quality control programs. But more importantly, as you mentioned before, having your factory at arm's reach allows you to experiment and test different manufacturing processes and techniques so that you get the maximum efficiency from your factory. Therefore, you can get the best yield, the best throughput, and ultimately the best quality coming out of your factory. I feel that when you are a new brand and you are pushing the very first units out the door, you absolutely have to make sure that you give your customers the white glove treatment, that every single one of these vehicles is perfect, or as close to perfect as you can possibly make them. That is absolutely our promise to our customers. So.
Absolutely. So, in terms of the market, how big is the sports motorcycle market in North America? And do you have any stats on motorcycle accidents? And how many, for example, like how many bike accidents happen in Canada or U.S.? And how you can help reduce that through your technology?
Yeah, so the sport bike market itself is it's around 7,500, 8,000 vehicles per year. It's a relatively small segment in North America. And as far as we as our flagship product, we're trying to connect to the enthusiasts first, and then we have plans to expand our model lineup beyond sport bikes to give us a much broader range of offerings, so that we can hit a larger demographic. One thing about motorcycles, as far as the market is concerned, motorcycles outsells cars 2 to 1 globally every year.
Wow.
It is there's approximately 160 million motorcycles sold every year. 82% of those vehicles are actually, you know, shipped to Southeast Asia. And we're talking about vehicles, scooters from scooters to big sport bikes. And so there's a, you know, up until like 2020, it was about a 7% annual growth rate, for motorcycles. Now switching to electric vehicles, they are at a much higher adoption rate, than the current, gas motorcycle, growth rate. You'll find that electric vehicles, is growing about 15 to 18%. So there's a huge push for electric. And, so, you know, it's kind of like a fitting time for us to enter this particular market now. As far as the accident rates and whatnot, well, you know, for accidents, as far as like motorcycle accidents, you know, riders are 2 times likely to die from a motorcycle accident than a car. They are, you know, as far as the number of accidents, I don't have the latest figures with me. The majority of accidents, 80, I think 86% of all accidents happen from the front. And also 86% of accidents happen. Basically, what I mean from the front is that the rider collides with an object in front of them. So they do actually, in most cases than not, they don't ever see what darts out in front of them before the accident occurs. So it's a complete surprise. And so, you know, our co-pilot technology can it will aid in that number, hopefully dropping over time, with our forward collision technology and also our blind spot detection work. So it's you know, motorcycling, you know, is a dangerous sport. But like I said, with our technology and our holistic package on the motorcycle, we hope to change that.
So I obviously want to talk more about the technology behind your product from a software perspective. Bike has an accident warning system. So can you talk about how this accident warning system works?
Sure.
And also if you can talk about any algorithms and AI that your bike might be using.
Sure. The accident warning system that we have on the motorcycle is called Copilot. It consists of commodity automotive radar and cameras that you can find on, you know, any of today's cars. And together with our software, creates a call it a force field, if you will. It creates an awareness bubble around you at all times in real time. So this system can detect up to 64 objects at any one time. Our software prioritizes threats as it detects them. So if you're familiar with cars, there's a term called ADAS, which is Advanced Driver Assistance System. So these are systems that you find on, you know, today's cars, which are blind spot warning, forward collision warning. What we've done is we've taken that essence of those safety technologies and adapted it for a motorcycle. One thing that you can appreciate that the biggest difference between a car and a motorcycle, aside from the two wheels that the motorcycle is missing, as opposed to a car, is that a motorcycle can move very dynamically compared to a car, right? And so when you have that dynamic movement, meaning that, first of all, a motorcycle leans, right? As it turns, especially at speed, it leans. And also when you apply the brakes or if you turn the throttle, the bike also pitches forward, right? Or aft, right? Depending on whether you're accelerating or braking. And so it does it in a much more acute way than a car. And so the sensors that I just talked about that you find on cars, they're designed for cars. So they're not used to movement of that nature. And so our software, our algorithms compensate for that movement while still providing you the safety protection that you'd find on any car, like blind spot and forward collision. And so the AI element to this is that as the user, as the operator of the bike is riding their motorcycle, we are constantly collecting data. So we're collecting data from the vehicle. So the telematic information, what is the vehicle doing? Like, we have GPS on the vehicle, so I know where you are. I know what the speed that you're traveling. I know, you know, how much you pull the throttle, how hard you, you know, pull the brake. We also capture information of the environment. So the environment is not just whether it's raining or not, you know, the roads are wet or dry, but it's also about traffic environments. So what we are trying to do is reverse engineer the causation of accidents. And we have to gather a lot of information, data, to do that. The last piece of information that we gather is actually about the rider, their tendencies, the behavior. And with all that information in our cloud, we can develop various algorithms and not only give you, you know, smarter blind spot warning or forward collision warning systems, but we can work towards a goal of predicting accidents before they occur. So if we could do that, we can pre-warn the rider to alter their riding behavior or make a corrective action so that they can improve their chances of not getting into an accident. That's the, you know, the crux of our safety technology. And then to couple it with our motor, the hyperdrive, because of, you know, of this holistic design effort that we are building, literally almost every single component on this bike ourselves, aside from, you know, wheels, tires, suspension, and brakes. With that level of control, we can change engine characteristics dynamically, and that allows us to do a lot of different things in you know, not only improving range, improving the rider experience, but also working together with the safety system to improve the safety system, to make it much more proactive than the current systems that you find today.
That's pretty amazing that if a bike can predict a possible accident and caution the driver, that would be amazing, because that can certainly help in reducing accidents. Are other bike companies using this accident warning technology, or is this?
As far as this specific technology, we are the first. There are other companies that are now starting to utilize automotive sensors to do the same thing. So, I mean, for me, I actually feel relieved that there's a lot more adoption of these type of technologies on motorcycles. You know, motorcycles really hasn't changed a whole lot since its birth, and it's good to see, you know, an industry rally behind Damon to improve rider safety.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And now Tesla is one electric car company which has been willing to share its patents as long as it's fair or responsible use or something. So yep. Did you leverage any of that information for your battery technology?
No. We didn't utilize any of their patents on our current technology. Our technology, we have patents protecting what we've designed. But we look at technologies abroad and we find inspiration on how, you know, how various manufacturers you know, perform or at least design. I think it's important to really respect each manufacturer and their capabilities and see what is latest trends and what's available in the market in order to inspire ourselves to design something that, you know, it's not just disruptive, but it's actually, you know, quite purposeful, right? It has to have it has to solve a problem that the user is facing.
Absolutely. And when will you begin your production? Is it sometime this year?
Yep, Hypersport will be shipping in 2021.
All right, perfect. Sorry. Initially, it seems your goal will be to target the North American market. But I'm guessing you obviously have plans to sell in Asia as well, because
That's correct.
it is obviously a big market for bikes.
Yeah, it's huge. We like last year before all the travel restrictions, my business partner Jay and I and our COO Derek Dorstein, we took a trip to New Delhi
Oh.
to visit a motorcycle manufacturer out there, one of the largest of the largest in the world. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me to see India in all its glory, and also how the public utilizes transportation, four-wheelers, two-wheelers, three-wheelers.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing, an amazing trip to see, such a dense population of people be able to maneuver these vehicles in a somewhat very elegant way. I mean, you might have other people describe it differently, but for me,
I think I know what you're talking about.
for me it was like a symphony. I mean, it was like, like the motorcycles and the other vehicles kind of like intermixed and, moved in a very fluid way. I mean, it reminds me of my time in China, and reminds me also of my time in Mexico as well, where you have these really dense, populations, and vehicles are, the modes of transportation for two-wheelers is so high, right? And it just, it gave me a lot of inspiration on how these safety systems could work in India or China or Mexico or other parts of the world. So, no, it is definitely on our roadmap to approach those markets, to be in those markets. Obviously those markets have different requirements, different sensitivities to, cost, technology, et cetera. And so, over time, we will have to understand and find that balance, how to put together a vehicle that gives you that right amount of balance, so that, the customers in those geographies are getting fair value for the dollars spent on this vehicle. So, it's kind of like a three-dimensional chart, if you will. There's the price of the vehicle versus the amount of kilometers that you can travel on a single tank of gas or a single charge, but there's also the intangible benefits of safety. And so we're that's the third dimension that Damon brings to the table here. So it's not about driving, the price down to the bottom. You have to offset it by the value proposition of the vehicle. So, if we're making the bike safer for consumers, we want them to consider that greatly, because like I said, my trip to India, you like I think the public there absolutely values their safety. But they also value their convenience. They value, the fact that traffic moves and flows, as opposed to being stop and go in various parts of the world.
So, which specific facility did you visit in India?
I can't get into specifics, but all I can say is that the facilities that we visited belong to one of the largest motorcycle manufacturers in the world.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's interesting. One thing I'm curious about is your experience at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah.
Which year did you participate in, and which city was it? And what was your experience like, and how did that help you in terms of your sales, in terms of your brand awareness?
We debuted our motorcycle at CES in 2020 in Las Vegas. We were part of the BlackBerry QNX booth. and in the automotive wing and the North Hall. It was a really an unbelievable time. We had thousands of visitors every day, all 4 days that we were there. It definitely put Damon on the map. We won a number of awards at CES. So we won the best in innovation. So we were the best of the best for the transportation technology. We also was awarded the Digital Trends Automotive Best of the Best. That particular award was very much a surprise to us. And the way that they judged us was actually they visited every single booth at CES in the automotive wing, and they determined that Damon had the best and most applicable technology at that show. And that is a huge, boost to our egos, number one. But it's a great, great, great. It's a great pat on the back to say that, amongst the giants in the auto world, the Hondas, the Mercedes, the Audis of the world, they saw this little startup company from Vancouver and our technology and our vision, and they said it was the best. And that's really inspiring. It's inspiring, and also gives us a lot of motivation to move forward. And really deliver this vehicle. So, the sales, like I said, that was the starting point of our pre-order, and it just drove sales to where we are today with the order book being at 18 million and 800 vehicles. So, yeah, it was very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have that kind of validation
Yeah.
for your idea, for your product. And it feels good, and it's also good for the self-esteem.
Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to remind you, I got about 5 minutes left before I have a hard stop.
All right, all right. Yeah, you're almost done. All right, perfect. So earlier you mentioned that you raised about 10 million. Can you disclose the valuation at which you raised?
No, not at this time. I mean, we're still, we're still a private, those are private rounds that we raised. The 10 million was spread over a few rounds, everything from our friends and family to pre-seed and seed rounds. We are right in the midst of closing another round that will give us quite a big windfall to help us see the Hypersport to its production end. Or production future, if you will. So yeah, that's been really positive for us. And I would say, keep an eye on Damon. We are going to do some pretty special things in 2021. So I can't get into the details of it, but yeah, I would say, please keep us in mind.
Absolutely. Damon is definitely an interesting company with an interesting product, and hopefully you will have a lot of success in the years to come.
Thank you.
Well, Dominique, it has been very nice speaking with you and talking to you and learning about your story and your amazing product and your company. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Solomon, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you reaching out, and it's been my pleasure. So anytime you want to do this again, let's figure out a time. So thank you everyone for listening.
Perfect. You want to share your website? How can people learn more about
Absolutely.
motorcycles?
Yeah, you can learn more about Damon, and if you feel so inclined to make a pre-order, you can pre-order on at www.damon.com. That's Damon. Damon.com, and everything that we talked about, you'll find out at on the website. So again, thank you very much. If you're a motorcyclist, just appreciate the support.
All right. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about the amazing story and innovation of Damon Motorcycles. And if you have any questions or if you want to learn more, you can visit Damon.com And thank you so much for listening to Zoomcast, and stay tuned for more episodes.